the CFMEU. He is also a member of Socialist Alliance. He's been active in the anti-fascist movement for many, many years. So please make him feel welcome.
Cheers, Nelly. I just want to start by acknowledging that we're meeting on the traditional lands of the Boonwurrung and Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. Pay respect to elders past, present and future, and to the emergent new generation of staunch Koori activists who've been organising very vibrant Black Lives Matter protests and Invasion Day protests in this city in recent years. I've been asked to speak because I'm a rank and file member of the CFMEU, and I just want to acknowledge those other CFMEU comrades who've taken the time to come down and support this rally today. I joined the CFMEU 6 years ago, and I was excited to be part of this union that has its roots in the mighty BLF Green Bands of the 1970s. I was probably a bit naive and thought I was literally joining the BLF. I think it's fair to say that the CFMEU today is not quite the BLF of the 1970s, but that's a product of the wider political context with lower union density, a weaker left, and more anti-union laws. We want to get back to how it was in the 70s with much more union density, with a much stronger left, and we want to get rid of anti-union laws. Even though the CFMEU of today might not be the BLF of the 70s, it's still a strong union that's been able to win decent improvements to pay and conditions in our industry, while pay in other industries has stagnated around the grossly inadequate minimum wage. The CFMEU is also effective at fighting for safety on construction sites, which requires ongoing vigilance because it's a dangerous industry. There is a strong grassroots culture of unionism and class consciousness in the CFMEU, and that makes our union a target for the right wing, whether it's the Liberal Party, the far right, neo-Nazis, weird conspiracy anti-vaxxers. On September 20, those same idiots that are once again rallying at the state parliament today held a rally at our office. They attacked our office, smashing it up with bottles and rocks and cans of frozen Coke. They violently assaulted elected union officials and staff. This sort of attempt to try and disrupt, attack and intimidate one of the strongest unions is absolutely disgraceful and unacceptable. It is straight from the far right playbook. Now, I've had my disagreements with decisions my union has made. I won't go into those here today. But there are ways to raise those concerns. Talk to a delegate or organiser. Come to a branch meeting. What you don't do is have a tantrum and go and smash up the office and attack union staff and officials if you don't get your way. That's not how trade union debates and deliberation and democracy works. You don't try and win a political argument with violence and intimidation. This is absolutely unacceptable. There are valid concerns to be raised about the lockdowns, the lack of proper financial supports, the heavy-handedness with which lockdowns were implemented, the raid on Comrade Chris Breen, the growing militarisation of the police with new weapons being used against protesters. But that does not justify death threats and intimidation. The so-called freedom protesters have no alternative vision of how to keep people safe from COVID. Many of them don't even think COVID is real. They aren't calling for more funding for hospitals and better pay for healthcare workers. They just want to abolish all virus control measures and let it run wild. The far right have suddenly discovered this thing called civil liberties, but it was not the far right protesting against new bipartisan supported anti-terror laws over the past two decades. It was not the far right protesting against the apartheid rate at which Aboriginal people are jailed in this country. It is not the far right who have been fighting to free innocent refugees and asylum seekers from the indefinite detention in concentration camps, including that hotel up the road. It was not the far right protesting the Tower lockdowns and providing mutual aid. It was us. Shame on those making death threats to democratically elected politicians and their family members, be they Labor Party politicians, Greens politicians, Animal Justice Party Senator Andy Medic, or Reason Party Senator Fiona Patten, or their families. Shame on those bringing gallows to Parliament and encouraging people to bring guns. Shame on those seeking to relativise the Holocaust by comparing safe, life-saving vaccination programs to forced medical procedures administered by the Nazis. Shame on the Murdoch media for its role in whipping up hysteria against Dictator Dan. Last time I checked, dictatorships don't allow constant saturation level hostile media coverage every day. They don't have democratic elections. They don't let hostile people protest in the street. What a ridiculous notion that this is some kind of dictatorship. Shame on those comparing proof of vaccination certificates to apartheid, as if you know anything about what it was like to live under apartheid. There is a vaccine apartheid, but the vaccine apartheid is about people in the global south not being able to access this life-saving vaccine because rich countries and corporations won't share the patents and won't provide vaccines for free as they should. Shame upon those who spat on and assaulted nurses at vaccine and testing clinics. And you know what? Shame on those who, despite all of this, continue to march alongside known neo-Nazis, who march alongside those making threats, bringing the gallows and the crossbows, who continue to march alongside those who've attacked unionists and socialists and health workers, who refuse to call this despicable conduct out, and who still try and claim this is an ordinary peaceful protest movement. It is not ordinary, and it is clearly not peaceful. I want to briefly finish by mentioning an example from Italy of how we can respond to the far right and conspiracists. There was an attack on the head office of the Italian equivalent of the ACTU, the General Confederation of Italian Labour, or CGIL, on October 9 by the conspiracists and far right. And it followed from this attack here. They were following the attack on the CFMEU office. Well, we also need to learn from our comrades overseas who've responded to this in a powerful way. What was the response of the CGIL? A week later, on October 16, there was a massive mobilisation by all affiliated unions in Rome. It's estimated that 100,000 people turned up. That is how we can confront the conspiracists and far right and demoralise them. We know from recent rallies in the city, Black Lives Matter, women's marches, Invasion Day, union marches, climate strikes, that when our side wants to, we can mobilise far larger crowds than what these people have been putting on. Let's do that. I urge all unionists, all progressives, let's have a big united rally to push back against these bastards. I want to finish with a message for the conspiracists. What you need to do is back off. Go home. Your attempts to use intimidation, threats and violence to try and force your views on your political opponents are absolutely unacceptable and will not be tolerated. Cheers, comrades.
Thank you so much, Zane.